Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. We've got some news, we've got some humor, and we've got some revealing philosophical questions. But enough teasing, let's hit it. New York held an enormous rally of many thousands on Sunday for Black Trans Lives Matter, with all the participants wearing white in solidarity. Pretty incredible to look at. But it does not compare at all to what BLM organizers in Seattle pulled off. An estimated 60,000 protesters marched silently through the streets of Seattle, filling the entire width of the street for nearly 2 miles, with one reporter saying it took 2 hours for the procession to fully pass by his location. I have never heard of a protest on that scale before. According to the South Seattle Emerald, the organizers had a set of demands, including reducing the Seattle Police Department's budget by at least $100 million, shutting down the new youth detention center in King County, declaring racism a public health crisis, and ending cash bail in Washington State, among others. Furthermore, they asked Seattle businesses to go on strike for the day, saying, quote, "On Friday, June 12th, we urge everyone to spend their time and energy on direct action for lasting structural change. Don't go to work and don't work from home. If you can't march, take this time as an opportunity to familiarize yourself with your local elected officials." End quote. These organizers are doing it right for sure. I hope we can get them to eventually add democracy dollars, star voting, UBI, 32-hour workweek, American scorecard, and M4A to that list so that people can be free and in charge of policy for real. About 150 businesses signed up to participate in the strike. You can find the list in the article below. The New York Times also released a series of trends for favorability of Black Lives Matter and other movements over the past couple years, showing that favorability for BLM has jumped up as much in the past 2 weeks as in the previous 2 years. It certainly helps when people aren't too busy to notice what's going on. In fact, favorability for BLM has been rising steadily over the past 2 years, along with that of legalizing weed and gay marriage, while favorability for Russia has been trending steadily downward. At this point, the only group that has a net negative favorability for BLM is Republicans, who are 39% opposed. Further developments in the Rayshard Brooks case: we now know that the officer spoke cordially with Rayshard for 43 minutes before he resisted arrest, and that he offered to walk home and leave his car prior to the breathalyzer test. The officer who shot Brooks has now been fired, as many, including the mayor, deem the shooting an inappropriate response in a case where Brooks did not pose a lethal threat. Andrew called out Congress in a tweet today, saying, quote, "Any member of Congress that doesn't come out for cash relief during this time will be judged harshly by people and history." End quote. It's a good reminder for us to turn the heat back up on them to pass UBI now, when the stock market is losing its footing over fears of a second wave of coronavirus, civil unrest has exploded due in large part to the economic crisis, and we're coming up on the expiration of the protections put in place by the CARES Act. Now is the time for a second wave of UBI advocacy. Many are tagging their representatives to call them out for not being on Scott's list of those supporting basic income legislation, and I urge everyone to join in on that. Make it clear to them that their career will hinge on their support of this issue. I've added the list in the links. I have to give a shout out to Mike for a response he gave in his recent AMA. Someone asked what happens to Mitch after Mike beats him, and Breuer responded that a hole opens in the ground, long sinewy arms reach up out of it and drag him down screaming, "I'm not ready, I have more work to do." That cracked me up. What a thing for a politician to say. You've got balls, Mike. And finally, a tweet from Toby Green caught my attention yesterday. He said, "Jesus was a poor brown refugee born to a single mother. He was against the organized religion of the day. He didn't own or consume beyond his need for the day. He was unemployed. How would he be treated in America?" Sounded like a joke, but it's actually a very worthwhile question, one that I think more people should ask themselves, particularly those who worship him. It seems to me that many who claim to follow his teachings in fact support politics that would demonize and dehumanize people like him. Worth considering. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Call out your lawmakers. Ask your friends, family, and co-workers how they think someone of Jesus' description would be treated in America. Help spread the word on coordinating with protesters to give the movement clear policy goals. If you're going out to protest, wear protection, especially on your eyes, head, and throat. If you get arrested while protesting, remember not to say anything without a lawyer. Whatever you choose to do, be wise, be safe, and act with measured purpose toward real solutions. And don't forget to Yang Daily.